this morning to the book of Romans, two places, the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. If someone may be by you and they don't have a copy of the Scriptures, then you might want to share with them so that as we read together, as I read aloud and they read silently, they could take in the Scripture reading. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And as you have that, when you find that, go over to Luke chapter 2 and verses 29 and 30. Luke chapter 2 and verses 29 and 30. I'm speaking on hope this morning from the Word of God. Hope. Abounding in hope. The message is to Christians. It's to those who are born again Christians. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Luke chapter 2, verses 29 and 30. The title of the message for the men upstairs is More Hope Than You'll Need. Abounding, abounding in hope. The title of the message is More Hope Than You Need. Do you have more hope than you need? You really do. You have access to more hope than you need. There's no hope unless God is there. There's no hope in the world. There's no hope there. There's no hope. We're going to live and live and live and live and then we die. And without Christ, there's no hope. Without God, there's no hope. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about more hope than you need. More hope than you need. First in the book of Romans, and this we'll be coming back to this text, so we'll keep the place open if you go over to Luke. Keep your Bible open here. Romans 15, verse 13, the Bible says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abound in hope. You might want to just bracket that out. That you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. Abounding in hope. Or that word abound there in the Greek language means, it means more hope than you'll need. To abound, for something to come abundantly, or to abound with something, means that you have more than what you need. And the Bible says that those who believe in God, those who are the children of God, that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope. That is, you'll have more hope than you need through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then in Luke chapter 2 and verses 29 and 30. Luke chapter 2 and verses 29 and 30. The Bible says, this is the temple setting. This is Simeon speaking. He says, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, having according to thy word. It says after he's seen Christ, he came there to be dedicated, as was with the custom of the Jews, and everybody had been waiting on Christ to come. And in the Old Testament, you'll find that it talks about the women that who did not have the womb open. That somehow it's like a judgment of God because everybody desired to give birth to the Messiah, and they've been waiting for centuries for Christ to come. By the way, the church in Israel in its blindness today is still waiting for the first coming of Christ. We're waiting for the second coming of Christ, and that is why in the beginning that they will be deceived into receiving the Antichrist. But they'll come out of that 3.5 years into the tribulation. But they're still waiting for the coming of Christ. But all through, you read the Bible, and you'll find all through the Scriptures that, the wives wanted to give birth, and in particular to a son, all wanted to give birth to the Messiah. Of course, Mary was the chosen one of God to do that. And so they take him to the temple, to the temple of God. And now, this priest here, he says in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let me tell you something. When you see Jesus, you're ready to go to heaven. When you see Jesus, you are ready. You get a glimpse of Jesus on Calvary's cross and peek out there, go into the empty tomb, see that thing in that tomb and see that it's empty, and Jesus has been resurrected at the right hand of the Father. You get a glimpse of that, brother, and you'll stay ready to go to heaven. You'll just stay ready. You'll want to go to heaven. You'll realize nothing but a bunch of foolishness down here. I'm 55 years old. I'm the same thing as the national speed limit. I'm 55 years old. And I have lived a while, and I have lived long enough to know there's nothing here. Nothing at all. Hey, the best thing you can do while you're here is try to influence people for God. Try to get some folks saved. Not putting away a lot of stuff and just hoarding all those things and holding on. You just need to let go and let God have His way in your life. And when you see Jesus on Calvary's cross by the eye of faith, you'll want to go to heaven. Now here's the case. This priest, he says, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go. I want to tell you something, that God, abounding in hope, abounding, more hope than you need, will not only lead you through this life, but when you come time to die, you'll have more hope than you need to die with. Man, I want that, don't you? Let's talk about it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the Bible, this book that we can come to and get great truths from. We know, Father, that our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Father, our hope of encouragement in this life is doing your will. We know, Father, there's no hope in this world. We enjoy those things you've given us to enjoy. We believe you gave the good things here, Father, for your children. We believe that. And so we enjoy those things, but we don't put our hope in them. Our hope this day is in Jesus Christ by way of salvation and the Father who watches over all and cares for all and plans our lives and helps us succeed when it comes to the living of our lives. I pray this morning that those who are here without Christ maybe came in today not even thinking about being saved, came for whatever purpose, I do not know. But I pray those without Christ might be saved so they can leave this place with hope, real hope in Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us who are saved that we'd seek out, we'd desire, oh God, give us more hope than we need. Give us abound, may we abound in hope. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. What is hope? Hope is a desire for future good. Its object, as that of faith, is something unseen. Now, Simeon here and the Christ and the Christians realized that in Christ, that Christ was the hope of Israel. In fact, Timothy writing says that Timothy talks about the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, which is our hope. All of our hope actually is wrapped up in Christ. Christ is our hope, Timothy says in 1 Timothy. Now, he who has Christ acquires hope of a better world. He who has Christ acquires hope of a better world. Let me tell you something. It will be worth it all. If you know where you're gonna end up, if you know your destination, the joys of that destination in heaven with God and Christ forever and ever, you can put it with a lot along the trip. If you know where you're going, if you're excited about where you can put it with a lot along the trip. You see, Christ is our hope because you see, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the earnest from God in us. And we've already given hope through some things that God has already done. Now what we want to get now, we want to get more hope than we need. We need abounding hope that we might abound in hope. We have some hope because of what Christ has already done in our life. See, you base your faith in the future on what He's done in the past. I've got a fellow up here, used to play in a rock and roll band, played drums in a rock and roll band. Do you still have those drums in your attic or you get rid of them? You still got the drums up there. And Kate, you know, Friday night or something, you know, Tony said, oh, I used to love it when you used to double stick that thing. Would you go down there and bring it in? But he used to play in a rock and roll band. Now, I have hope. You know what he's doing now? He's driving his bus out here and bringing in 30, 40, 50 kids and trying to win people to Christ, doing everything that he can for the cause of Christ. Hey, I have hope because of what he did in John Hahn's life. See, I'll base the future. If he was changed, and the Bible says the rapture take place, will be changed. See, you base your hope on what God's already done, what he's already done in your life. I see some other wicked sinners here. All right, Don up here. Speaking of wicked sinners, Don Hatchell was an alcoholic, was over in the whatever they call that thing, the Fillmore Institute or whatever they call that place, was in there getting attention, special attention. He got saved and then he got clothed and in his right, well, that may be too much. I'm going to have to wait a while on that. Almost in his right mind. Why? I'm encouraged because he delivered an alcoholic through salvation. He's changed. Now, if God did that in the past, let me tell you something. When it comes to hope, I want more hope when I die. I want more hope while I'm living than I need. And that'd be good when we have more hope than we need. More hope than we need. We see our young people. Our young people, oh, I love this. One of the I've told this several times recently. I'll tell it again. One of our young people, she's probably over in teen church with Brother John Mark. We told them, so we're having activities, and you go to activities, we have special dress standards that they have to wear, things they have to wear. We help them get them if they don't have them and so on. And this young lady calls, teenager, she called. She said, Brother John Mock said, now, if we dress like that and have it down to cover your knees, make sure you're not showing any of that thigh out there, and for the young ladies and all, if we have it, I said, Brother John Mock said, we look old fashioned. Brother John Mock said, that's exactly what we want you to look like. We want to look old-fashioned because we found that old-fashioned turns out good young ones. Old-fashioned is what keeps them right. Old-fashioned. See, you got a bunch of parts that nobody wants to be an adult. Afraid somebody, I don't want to hurt his little feelings. I don't want to thwart his personality. He needs some thwarting of his personality. Then you got a crowd out there now that don't even believe in spanking. Can you believe that? If I was at home now being reared by my dad would be in Virginia Beach County, city jail. They'd lock him up before dark. My dad never read any of those psychology books. He knew what, he had one lesson. It was belt 101. And that meant one-on-one. In fact, there's a Baptist, and I know Baptists don't believe in dancing, but I learned to dance at my daddy's hand. He got that thing, boy, and I'd go round and around and around and around. Look, see, I see what God has done in the past, and that makes you believe in the future. And the Bible says here that we shall have hope, that we may abound in hope. We'll have more hope than we need. The hope of reward sweetens the pot for us. Let me show you something, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. The hope of reward, that sweetens the pot for us. That makes life more interesting. The fact that when we serve God, isn't this a great, great program? We serve God and God rewards us for that. Isn't that something, man? You can't get a deal like that anywhere. And we have the Word of God on it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, we'll be using our Bible some this morning. It'll be an unusual experience for some of you, but the rest of you will probably enjoy it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10 says, For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope shall be partaker of his hope. That is that we become partakers of God's hope. Look at this. It says, For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope shall be partaker of God's hope. That is that, alright, Brother John, see, and our other bus workers, Brother Rick down here, Big Al here, all those that are working the bus, you bring them in, you see, this is amazing. You see teenagers come in, and God gets a hold of their life and changes their life, and we have hope because of that. Gives us hope. And the very thing you think, yeah, but you know, you gotta just have pizza parties and you gotta go over here and do that. Now we do those things, but what I'm saying, we must have the power of God to change life, and when we see that, we have great hope. We see them come in, they have cutoffs, they don't know, they have cutoffs on, and a few weeks later, boy, they're dressing like ladies and acting like ladies. You say, well, why is this so important? I'm going to tell you why it's so important. Because this man-on-man unisex stuff is turning out a bunch of sodomites. That's why. Because they don't know who mama is, who daddy is. It's turning out a bunch of sodomites. They reach up and grab a hold of a pant leg, and they think it's papa bear. Turns out it's mama. The only way they can tell the difference is they pull them up, see one of them shaved, mom's not. Well, you know men shave their legs. Change. Change. This very message I'm preaching depends on the Holy Spirit of God. Change. Change. Right? The power of God is no good. Someone, about 3 weeks ago, they came here on Sunday night, and they went out mad. Can you believe I'd say anything to make them mad? They went out mad. So what do you think about that? I think you ought to leave one of three ways. You ought to leave mad, glad, or sad. And sad if God got a hold of you and get back in and make the decision, make the thing right early. Glad if you hear the word of God preached in 1998, brother, because it ain't preached in a lot of places. You ought to be glad. And then some heathen come in, say, I don't like what you said. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm not going to stop preaching the truth of the word of God because some heathen doesn't like the message. God said to preach it, to preach it, to preach it, to preach it. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'll leave the results with him. Shoot, I'm married to this pianist right here. I've been trying to get her to run away with me for a long time. But she won't do it yet. We've been married a long time. I'm married to this pianist. I got two boys. They can take the offering up. I got a girl give to the offering. Women got all the money anyway. Our girl to give. So if we go all the way back, I only had six people when we started here. I only had six. I've got a family about that size. Now I bring John in from out of town just for the Sunday service. Oh, listen, leave it up with God. God wants to give to you more hope than you need. And you base that hope on what He did in the past. What He did back yonder in your life. Those things that He's done in other people's life. Oh, listen, beloved. He says, look what He says here. We get a reward. He's kind of, what a program it is. For our sakes, no doubt this is written that he that ploweth would plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of God's hope. God has hope for us, abounding in hope. That's what we want. That's what we want. The Bible says back in Romans chapter 15, the God of hope. The God of hope. Let me tell you something. Our hope is rooted in God. Our hope is rooted in Him. Verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Fill you with all joy. The God of hope. As we believe God, there is born in us the hope of the realization of all that we hope to receive in and through Christ in this life and the one to come. We're talking about those things we received in Christ that happened when we got saved. In Christ is our salvation. We're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody goes to heaven unless they go the Christ way. We talk about God. We're talking about God the Son dying on Calvary's cross. Nobody gets saved. There'll be nobody in heaven made it through because they did this or did that. No, no, no. You'll make it through because you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, realize that you're a sinner before God, and have the peace of God flood your soul as Jesus comes in by way of the Holy Spirit. Salvation. We have salvation. We have salvation. We're saved. Not going to change. Your light bill will change. Your car payment may change. Your house payment may change. Your kids are going to get older. Your life's going to change. But salvation does not change. I'm going to tell you why. It's kept by God. Not us. It's kept by God. The Bible says in Peter, it's reserved in heaven. I got me a place reserved in heaven. And it's kept by God. I'll keep it. I don't have to keep. I could swing over hell, hanging on a corn shelf, and not even worry about falling into hell. I'm saved, saved, saved. Can't go to hell if I want to, and I don't want to. Once saved, always safe. Always saved. Oh, listen. We're talking about the grace of Almighty God, the hope, the joy. In Christ we have salvation. I've got to hurry. Also, we have eternal life. Some people get saved and lose it. Well, if you got saved and lose it, you didn't get eternal life. Eternal life is eternal, it's eternal, 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 it's everlasting. You get saved, you get saved, you get eternal life. Man, that's a tremendous thing. That's a tremendous thing. Then we for this hope, we look toward the blessed hope. Now, I'm not going to go there because of the couple things I want to work toward the end of the message, but the Bible says in Titus, we're looking for the blessed hope. For the blessed hope. Man, that's the uptaking. Then he says again here in verse 13, it says, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Peace in believing. With all joy. That word all there means? That means full. With full joy. With full joy. I mean full joy. You see, joy is not just an emotion. Joy, by way of God, is a virtue. It's a virtue. I've known people that have gone through very difficult times in their life. I mean real heart-wrenching times. And yet they have a joy. It's a virtue that comes from God. He says to fill you, you'd be full of joy, of joy, of joy. Now, look at, oh man, let me show you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 verse 34. This is good. Hebrews 10, 34. Oh man. He says here in 13, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, with all joy. Now look, this is tremendous. Now you get your pen out because you'll want to mark this. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, we're talking about hope. And really, the more hope than we need, more hope than we need. Look at Romans 15. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. This is a great, great verse. Look at this. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. This is Paul, I believe, writing. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Look at this. All you ever been through a tough time? For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and look at, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. That is of maybe some trial or some heartache or some hurting time. And you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. What a great verse of scripture that is. And took joyfully. See, joy is a virtue, not just an emotion. It's a virtue by way of God. and took joyfully, the Bible says, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Even your own life. Even your own life took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. What a tremendous verse of scripture. In the active process of your constant believing, there will be repeated filling of your life's cup with joy. With joy. With joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16, in God's presence, there is joy. There is joy. Then we've got to get to the main part of the message this morning in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Look at it again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. That ye may abound in hope. Pastor Clyde Box used to pastor out in Texas. He's now pastor emeritus of the church he used to pastor. And he had a young preacher, assistant pastor, he's taking out visiting with him one day during the week, and they were out visiting. They went in the hospital and met this fellow's dying of cancer. And I've had a few times that it was like this, but not as many as I would like. But they went in to visit with this man who's dying of cancer, and the guy was excited about going to heaven. And he talked on and on about looking for Jesus. And he's excited. He said, "Now, don't y'all now, brother, don't you worry about me. I'm fine. I'm just getting ready to go to heaven." And he kept talking about how excited he was to go to heaven. So much so that the assistant pastor, he was talking about heaven, here's what he had. He had more hope than he needed to die with. See, he had more hope than he needed. And when you get your cup full, it splashes all out on the sauce and then on the table. And he had more hope than, that's the way I want to die, by the way, brethren. I want to die with more hope than I need. When folks come in trying to console me because I'm going out to glory, bless God, I want to encourage them. And that's what he was doing. And he's encouraging Pastor Box. And this young guy got so excited about the encouragement. He reached over to get back ready to go. He said, "Well, I want you to know it's been nice knowing you." Like he's already seen the guy headed out to glory. Just been nice knowing you. Hey, hope that's more. You know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had more hope than they needed. You read that over in the book of Daniel, you'll find there when the king said, "When you hear the horn, you hear the music, you bow down and worship." They said, "No, we'll not do that." And they said, he said, "All right, I'll throw you in the fire. We'll heat that furnace 7 times hotter than what it normally is." And they said, "I want you to know this, old king. I want you to know that our God is able to deliver us. He's able to. But if he doesn't, I want you to know that he can." See, they had more hope. They had more hope than they needed. We find that with Stephen. Stephen had more hope than he needed. He came to die. He was the first martyr of the church, and that was the apostle. That was Saul there holding him. Became the apostle Paul. And Saul there holding the garments as they stoned him. And he received Christ. He looked up to heaven. He saw Christ. And he says to those who persecuted him, those who stoned him, he says, "Father, lay not this to their charge." Hey, he was ready to go. He had more hope than he needed. More hope you've got available to you through the Holy Spirit of God. More hope than you need. My grandma Swarner on my mama's side. Grandma Swarner had more hope than she needed to die. More hope. She'd encourage you. You come and try to encourage her and she'd encourage you. Boy, that's the way I want to go out. That's the way. I mean, encouraging folks. Encourage. Have more hope. More hope. And brother, you need hope in this hour. There's not a lot of it out there. You need hope. Even the world's hope, even the false hope, is doom and gloom. Hope, hope, the Bible says. Look at Romans 8, 24 and 25. Just turn back here. Romans 8, 24 and 25. Look at this. "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Look at this again. Verse 24. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Hope. He who has hope, has God. Oh my, let me just wind the thing down. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 15. Let me close with this. 1 Corinthians is the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. Look what it says here. We're talking about that blessed hope. We're talking about having abounding hope. More hope than we need as we live this life. We're talking about Paul says that he says, you enter joyfully in the spoiling of your goods. Whatever God allows to come to our lives has come from God. It's come from God. I know folks get mad at God because God chose a certain thing or allowed a certain thing. Let me tell you something. That came from the hand of God. Let me tell you something else. With the other hand, there's the grace of God to make it through. With his right hand, he signs off on it. That's you and your lot for your life. God has signed off on that. With the other hand, he gives the grace for you to make it through. Oh, God is gracious and God is loving. And God wants to give to you abounding hope. Believing you receive it. Basing on what's happened in the past. You can base the future on that. You can base the future on it. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the Bible says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity or love, these three." Look what it says. "But the greatest of these is love." Now, why do you think that is? Because you see, one of these days, faith will become sight. I've never seen Jesus. Anybody here seen Jesus? I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen him. This book talks about him. I love him. He's my Savior. I've never seen him. He's my Savior. One of these days, faith will become sight. If you can see something, you can see it with your eyes, you look at it, you don't need faith because it's there. It's there. One of these days, sight will make it unnecessary for faith. Because we'll see Christ. We'll see heaven. We'll see the golden streets of glory. We'll see that. God is love, the Bible says. And that goes on and on and on and on and on. God is love. Let me tell you this. The Bible says in believing we abound in hope. Those who do not believe, those who do not have the desire to seek after holiness and understand the things of God will not abound in hope. You'll be discouraged. You'll be distressed. You say, "Why did God, if there is a God, why did God let this happen to me?" You won't have an outlook toward with a picture toward eternity. You won't understand. There's some things we don't understand anyway, but I'm saying you can understand your life and what's happening to you. The Bible says in believing, we abound in hope. We have more hope than we need. More hope than we need. But the Bible also says when all are made well, when all in glory with God the Father and Jesus the Son and the precious Holy Spirit, the Bible says then there'll be no longer need for faith because sight removes faith. There'll be no longer need for hope because hope will be realized. That's that car next Saturday afternoon. They headed that man over there to the eating place and the reception and then headed out for a life together and honeymoon then back here. See, it's realized and hope's realized then. That's the way to be with us when we get to heaven, the blessed hope. But then the Bible says that the love of God goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's why it's the greatest. Let me quickly do one more thing. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Then we'll close. Matthew chapter 11. We're talking about hope, and that hope is in Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Look at this. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. God who gives us more hope than we need says to you, if you're here without Christ today, Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Do you have a heavy burden on you? A heavy burden. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Then he says, you do that and learn of me. Always the yoke is for learning. "And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The yoke of Christ is easy. The yoke of the world with no hope is hard. The yoke of the drunkard is hard. It's a hard yoke. The world's tough. You know, the life of the person who's controlled by habits, the pornographer. It's a hard line. That's a hard line. It's a wicked life. The yoke of drugs. It's a hard life. Jesus says, come unto me. My yoke is light. My yoke is light. So the world's yoke is heavy. It's heavy. That's what he means here when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to Christ. And as you come to Christ, life begins to make sense. In Christ, life begins to make sense. And after you get in Christ, if you don't walk with Him, if you don't have the idea to please Him, you're not going to have a whole lot of hope. He says, in believing, you'll get more hope than you need. Man, you get in your 50s as I am now, and you think about graduating out to glory. You just do. It just comes with the territory. You know, you get 40 years old, you begin to think about it. Before 40, you don't have any sense anyway, so you don't think about living or dying like that for the most part. And you get 40 years old, you get a little sense. Not guarantee you're going to get any, but you could get some if you do halfway right by the time you get 40. You get 40 years old, and you begin to think about how many years you got left. That's the way life is. You begin to, it happens, 40th birthday are right in there. And you begin to think, how much time do I have left? You don't think about that at all in the early years. When you get up around 55, you begin to look for things that encourage you. This is my study for me. And I said, Lord, this is good. This means that I can go through life having more hope than I need. I mean, hope left over. Maybe share some with you all. Then when I come today, and some of you younger ones, because I plan to be here a good while, some of you young ones, you come to see me. And you say, preacher, I know how it was in preaching. How is it in living? And I want to be there to say to those that come at my graduation time into glory. And say, oh man, I'm excited. I'm excited to go see God. You see, because God promised me that I have more hope than I need. Dearly beloved, walk with God. Walk with God. He'll load you up with hope. He'll load you up with hope. Let's bow for prayer.